Many, many years ago, I took my first aerobics class, and walking into the first class was like walking into the wilderness. There were veteran exercisers clad in a rainbow of spandex who were busy setting up their steps and filling their water bottles. I had on a baggy t-shirt and sweatpants. But I grabbed my step, and I headed back to the corner where I could watch, where I couldn't see myself in the mirrored wall, where I could be, I hoped, invisible. The instructor started up with a brief warm-up, but at the end of 5 minutes, I was already out of steam. And like the rich man in the parable, I would have given anything for a drop of water, but I hadn't even thought of bringing a water bottle. After 30 minutes and 30 more to go, I was soaking wet. I was exhausted. I couldn't tell right from left any longer. And it certainly didn't help knowing that relief was to be had at the shrine of the Blessed Krispy Kreme just 5 minutes away. On that day, all my sinful and unhealthy and destructive demons revealed themselves. They were unwilling to let go of their power, and they screamed out at me, "Give up! Why put yourself through this torture? Go ahead and nurture your inner couch potato. How can such misery be good for you?" And only by the grace of God, I recall that I remained upright for the rest of the hour. And when I got home, I remember Bob asking, "How'd it go?" And I said, "It's going to kill me." That's all I could say. Ash Wednesday is here, and the church enters the strange wilderness of Lent, and hopefully it's going to kill us. There is no getting around it. Joel has sounded the alarm. Blow the trumpets. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. And Lent's wilderness offers us no place to hide, no refuge. A confrontation with the truth awaits us, that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. There's no safe corner back in the dark in which to hide. How we would love to refuse to look into the mirror of confession and repentance and avoid all talk of discipline, repentance, ashes, and death. But it cannot be, for this is Lent. Blow the trumpet, sanctify a fast. Lent demands we meet our sin, our limitations, face to face. Whatever it is that causes us to neglect God and our neighbor, whatever draws us away from faithfulness, self-indulgent ways, pride and jealousy, hypocrisy, and as we've been talking about in the Tuesday morning Bible study, coveting, all of which we will confess to God very shortly. Lutheran preacher Heidi Newmark writes, "This Ash Wednesday can come as a relief. Here is a day without any pretense, no game playing, no public face to hide the private truth, no superhuman efforts doomed to fall short. We can truly come as we are. Today offers an odd opportunity for success, and just one thing is required. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We dare not miss the opportunity of Lent. We dare not miss Joel's call to the community of God to gather in a communal lament, a lamentation. "Return to the Lord your God with all your heart. The day of the Lord is coming, it is near. Return with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothes. Return to the Lord your God, gracious and merciful. The problem is, we don't see, typically in this day and in this time, much need to repent. A seminary professor of mine once said, the big challenge for the church is that we don't see any cause to repent. Perhaps we think others need to repent, but you and I do not. That's the challenge. And Eugene Peterson, pastor, writer, and professor, echoes the same sentiment. We haven't come to terms with our true selves and with the reality God is in charge and we are not. We are not. He writes in Eat This Book, we enter into adulthood with the working assumption that whatever we need and want and feel forms the divine control center of our lives. Peterson suggests we have replaced the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with a new Trinity of our own, holy needs, holy wants, holy feelings. I quote at length, my holy needs are non-negotiable. My so-called rights, defined individually, are fundamental to my identity. My need for fulfillment, for expression, for respect, my need to get my own way, all these provide a foundation to the centrality of me and fortify myself against those who seek to challenge me. My holy wants are evidence of my expanding sense of kingdom. I train myself to think big because I am big, important, significant. I am larger than life and so require more goods and services, more things and more power. Consumption and acquisition are the new fruits of the Spirit. My holy feelings are the truth of who I am. Anything or person who can provide me with ecstasy, with excitement, with joy, with stimulus, with spiritual connection, validates my sovereignty. This, of course, employs quite a large cast of travel agents, gadgets, therapists, recreations, and entertainments to cast out the devils of boredom, or loss, or discontent, all the feelings that undermine or challenge my sovereignty. Brothers and sisters, we have dismissed the Holy Trinity and taken on other gods to make sure our needs, our wants, our desires are tended to without regard to the needs and wants and feelings of other individuals, without regard to the needs and the wants and the desires of the community. And Peterson's words are those of a prophet. They yank us out of our delusional world of us or me and back into the reality that we need a change of perspective. The change of perspective being that we are not the center of the universe. And so we dare not miss the opportunity Lent brings to die to old and useless and hurtful patterns of life. We dare not miss the opportunity to be raised again to new life, freedom from the obsession with ourselves and our stuff and being right at all costs, freedom for seeking to serve others and helping to restore the healing shalom God desires for creation. For when we all enjoy shalom, there will be no more war, no conflict, no division. We will all have what we need. We will have enough. We will not feel compelled to take from another or to withhold from another. That is Lent. That is the work of Lent. And one writer puts it this way: the wilderness of Lent is both our destination and our way ahead. It is the path to newness, our way to the promised land. Our Lenten exercises, our Lenten disciplines, is meant to kill us, to kill our arrogance, our stinginess, our fear, our stubbornness, to kill our conceit, our blindness, and deafness. Lent holds the hopeful potential to begin the process of clearing the clutter and making room for God, to breathe again the breath of new life into our bodies. Joel's call is a hopeful one. He knows God's track record, that out of the dust God created us, those whom God loves, and those whom God stubbornly refuses to abandon. Thanks be to God. Amen.